Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
I am going to jump in here today, and the title of the message that I have today is "What's New with You?" And as I was preparing and thinking about, what's new with us and what's new with each of you, one of the things that came to me was just a question. And the question was, and I think most of us could probably agree, is I started asking myself, what is it that I want to change this year? What is it I want to do better? And what is it that I would like to possibly do something new, something I've never done before? So I started trying to think of these things of, and I don't know if any of you could say is that you have some of those things as well, is that there's something you'd either like to change, something you'd like to do better, or something that you would like to have, something new to do that you've never done before. And as I started just kind of asking God on this, I started thinking about what have we had new going on around here, and I thought, what you have to know is as I was starting to prepare and ask God about what it is he wanted me to share today, it was right at the first of the year. So I was like, well, we got a new year going on. We've got, the new decade, 2020. We're just going into that. And then immediately thought about our church family here. We've just planted in this new location after 15 years at our prior location. We're in this new building that God has blessed us with. And I thought about the new in that. And then the really big thing that was new this year is Paul's closed, and we couldn't get our donuts from Paul's anymore. So all of a sudden, after 20 years of always getting our donuts from Paul's, we had to find a new location to get our donuts for Sunday morning. Some people felt like that was a crisis in itself. but one of the things I have definitely learned, though, and definitely can see, is when we talk about change, there's two forms of change. And one is voluntary and one is involuntary. So one is a choice, one is it just happens and we have to adjust to it. So when I was thinking about just with that aspect of it and with the changes that we've had, I immediately thought about things that we had going on in our own family as well. And if you can bring up the picture of Owen, this is our grandson, Owen. Now, on the one picture on the left, this is just Owen on an everyday. The picture on the right was, see, this week he had to start at a daycare that he had never been to before. So up until, he's going to be two this week. And up until now, he's been so blessed that he got to be with his Nana, Rachel's mom, and she's watched him while Rachel was at work. But they just made a move over into Missouri in the St. Peter's area, and they had to find a new daycare to take him to. Now, we were blessed that they were able to be close enough. My dad was part of starting a daycare back a few years ago that's a Christian daycare in the St. Peter's area, so that's where Owen's going to be attending. So it wasn't necessarily, a really bad change. It was change. In poor Owen's mind, I think it was an involuntary change. It wasn't something that he asked for. It was something brought upon him. And, so he had a rough first day. He cried a lot and there was a lot of adjustment during that time. And I think if we could be honest, even if we don't look like that, we sometimes, when we're forced into change, we kind of have that same like, oh, are you kidding me? We have to go through another change of some type. So, Owen, though, just as a little side, if some of you might have seen this on social media, but that first day, I thought I could go be the hero, and I was going to pick him up a little bit early. So I got there to pick him up, and he didn't see me when he first came in the room. And I've watched him when he sees his mom and dad after he hasn't seen them for a while, and he's so excited, and he yells for them and runs to them and jumps in their arms. So I thought when he saw me at the daycare, I came into the room. He didn't see me. I squatted down to get down to his level, and I thought he'd come running to me and be like, "Mama," and, you know, to take him home. But he turned around. And he saw me, and the look on his face was still a very much concern. And he ran towards me, and then he ran around me, and he darted over for the door. And he ran to the door, and he went, "Come on." We were bolting. We were getting out of there. He was done. I was his ability to escape this room. And so we just had to, God love you. He, you know what, I thought about it, though, for us, too, is how often, if we had the ability, when we know we're going to be involuntarily having to make a change, that sometimes we would bolt for that door, too. If we could see that door to say, that's my way back to what I know, that's my way back to where I'm comfortable, how many of us would run for that door? And so as I continue, Joe, just to look and think about the word new, and I started looking, and I always, you know, first thing obviously I want to do is go into Scripture and look at what Scripture has to say. So I thought, okay, well, I'll look for, you know, you just look, go to Bible Gateway and put in a word. So I went into Bible Gateway, and if you look at, in the NIV, new appears 280 times, and if you look at the NLT, new appears 496 times. So new's talked about in the word. So I didn't want to share all those scriptures with you today, but I'll share a few of them. So I also looked up what new in the Bible dictionary, what it had, and it said fresh. So we know that can also mean for a fresh start. And I have a fan up here someplace that is just determined to blow my notes away. So we'll see how we do with this. So I am going to, though, for today, one of the scriptures that immediately popped into my head when I was thinking about new was in Isaiah 43, verse 19. But I'm going to start in 18, and it says, "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now as it springs up, do you not perceive it? I'm making a new way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." And as I started to prepare, one of the things that I had heard right as I started preparing in this was, I felt like God was saying, sometimes when something ends, it's because there's something new that's coming. So sometimes instead of focusing on where we've been, we're to look forward and to what's new. What does God have next for us? And a couple of examples I had just looked in the Word was in 1 Kings chapter 17. That was when Elijah was taken out, and he was put in a location where he was outside the area where he could get food. And I guess back then they didn't have like pizza deliveries or Grubhub or any of those things. You're like Jimmy John's. It was probably like just past that line or something where he just couldn't get it. So what God did for him in that moment was God provided. He said, "You'll have a brook to drink the fresh water from, and ravens will bring you food in the morning and in the evening." So God provided that for him. But what God did was when he was ready for Elijah to do the next thing, is that brook dried up and the ravens stopped bringing the food. So in that moment when it was ready for him to do the next thing, the water dried up. Now we could just look at it and we could focus on the fact that the brook dried up and the ravens stopped delivering the food, but God was moving him on to a next thing. The other example that I had looked at was, you know, so often we look at in Exodus where God provided manna for the people, and what a miracle that food would just drop from heaven and the people just got to go out each day and gather that food. And they did that for over 40 years. But after that 40-year period, what I haven't heard much about, and I had heard this reference not too long ago, but was when the manna stopped. And in Joshua chapter 5, it talks about when the manna stopped. And it just stopped one day. One day it came, And the next day, no more manna came, and it never appeared again. And in that, what God was doing was a new thing. At this point, the Israelites had gotten into the land of Canaan, and they were going to, now they were able to harvest the food there, and they were able to plant and harvest, and so God was doing a new thing. As I continue just to look at scriptures, we're looking at new. The other scripture that immediately jumped out to me was where it talks about renewing our mind. And so when I started looking for that scripture, the scripture itself that talks about renewing your mind is in Romans chapter 2. And it says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Also in 2 Corinthians, it says, "Inwardly we are being renewed day by day." And as I looked at that, and I hope you guys do this too. It's so nice with electronics that we have now. Even if you don't have multiple Bibles, if you have it on your phone or an iPad or something, you can always jump in and look at it in different versions. So I love looking at it in either, you know, if I've read it in the NIV or the NLT, I also love to go and maybe look at it in the Message Bible. It's just great different ways that you can look at it and pull that information. And what I looked at next was, as I was looking at Romans chapter 2, or 12 verse 2, I looked at it in the Message Bible. And I just like this so well, and there was something for me that really jumped out. So I'm just going to read that part to you in the Message Bible. And it says, "So here's what I want to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, so just your ordinary day-to-day life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You will be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down at the level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you and develops well-formed maturity in you." So, as I was looking at that, for me, what really jumped out, only because literally 2 weeks prior to me reading this, I had just sat in a Bible study with a group of ladies and had said, what are you looking for God for you this year? When I asked that question earlier, what do you want to change? What do you want to do better? And one of the things I had said was, I don't just want to hear God. I want to respond more quickly. If God tells me to go over and pray with so-and-so, I want to run over there and pray with so-and-so. If God tells me to go bless this person, I want to do it and do it generously and not put it in my own head and mess around with it and then talk myself out of it and go, that's just me being weird. That's not really from what God is saying. So what jumped out at me in the middle of that says, readily recognize what He wants, what God wants from you, and quickly respond to it. And that just leaped out to me because I had just literally spoke those words a couple weeks before saying, God, that's what I want to do. And I want to not just hear you, but I want to respond and be obedient to you quickly in that. So many, and I am going to share a little bit about talking about with habits and a new thing, but I'm not looking at it as a New Year's resolution. I just heard on the news that by January, it's depending on which station you listen to, by January 17th or 18th, they said most people have given up on their New Year's resolutions. They're done. They're already stopped doing it, not doing it anymore. So I thought, this is not a New Year's resolution that we're looking at, but we are going to talk about when we're looking to create a new habit or a new tool, a tool for creating a new habit or something new. Because it's one thing just to say we want to do something. It's another thing to make it happen and actually move forward in that. So if you could pull up that first slide on developing a habit or starting a new thing. So the first one is make a decision and define it clearly. And on that, I have a scripture reference here. If you're note takers, I am going to go through a lot of things here pretty quick, but we'll have it on the podcast available within the next week or so as well. But in this, James 1:5 says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you." So when you're making a decision, define it clearly. For example, you know, if if you already do this, this is great, but if one of the things you were looking to do is spend more time with God and get in His Word, you know, define it clearly. Say you already get up at 6:30 in the morning, you need to suddenly get up at 6 now to be able to take that time and spend it with God. Whatever that thing is that God's putting on your heart to change or to get better at this year, just make that decision and then define it clearly. And then the second thing there is to put it into action. James 1:22 says, do not merely listen to the word and deceive yourself. Do what it says. Be a doer of the word. So when you made that decision and you're putting it into action, that should be something that you don't put off doing it for, you know, because if we say, how many of you have somebody that you've been wanting to get with? I've been wanting to get with Vanessa for a while now, and I had told her several weeks ago, we're going to get together sometime, but I never set a date to it. We have a date now, don't we, Vanessa? we've got it down. So it takes actually putting action to it and moving forward with it and setting that time frame. If you bring up the next slide, the third one is avoid excuses. Try not to allow exceptions or excuses until it becomes a habit. In Colossians 3:23-24, it says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. So whatever you're doing, this doesn't matter if you're with work, in your home life, in your neighborhood, wherever you are, you're doing it unto God. Think about anything you do in your life that you're doing it unto God. So if there's something that you're wanting to do better, or if you're wanting to make a change, do it unto the Lord. And this next one says, tell others. Let others know that you are starting something new. If possible, even ask a couple of close to you to hold you accountable. And immediately, the first scripture on this one that I had thought of was Proverbs 27:17, and that's the one that says, iron sharpens iron, so as a friend sharpens a friend. Another one here that I've got is 1 Thessalonians 5:11. It says, therefore, encourage one another, build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. And this is important. If you get that person that you can have to hold some accountability to, and whatever is that you're doing, this is, you know, you want someone that will be lovingly honest with you. So you're not wanting someone to browbeat you with it or make you feel guilty or bad. You know, if you say that this is the change that you want to make, that I'm going to get up, you know, that extra 20-30 minutes early in the morning, I'm going to spend time with God, and then you tell your accountability person, oh my gosh, my kids were sick or I was sick and, you know, I missed 3 times this week. This is not the time to beat them up and tell them, well, you loser. You know, this is that time to lovingly give them an encouragement and saying, hey, we all mess up. Move forward, jump back in, just get back in there, and, you know, just move forward in it. Be that source of encouragement. There was one other one here, and I started to for time to leave it out, but God really pulled me back on this one, and it's Hebrews 10:25. It says, not giving up meeting together, as some are in habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. You know, I looked this up in several commentaries where it talked about encouraging us to come together and to meet together. And in everything I can find, as far as any commentaries, this is talking about Christians coming together in a church setting, coming together in a small group. But there's so much needed in that. And when I had looked up the word habit when I was studying and was preparing for this, habit was only found a couple times in the Bible. But this was one of them. And what they said was, and my commentary was, is that even back when this was written, that some had already stopped meeting together. They had already stopped valuing coming together as Christians and coming together in a meeting such as this. So there's so much value in that. And I just wanted to add in there, when we talk about church family, and I know we say it, and I certainly do not mean it lightly. Many of you know that our oldest son was born blind, and we found out when he was about 4.5 months old was when we were at the hospital, and we actually got the news that at that point they had told us they thought he could only see light and dark. When we were at the hospital, you know, and you're just taking things in at that point when you've gotten that kind of news. They handed us a pamphlet, and I'll never forget the pamphlet, though, that I was handed that day, because this was a secular hospital. This was not a Christian hospital. This was not a Christian setting whatsoever. This was a secular hospital. But the pamphlet they handed me, which was a secular pamphlet, not a Christian pamphlet, said that they found that people that were active, not that they knew of a church, but people that were active in a church actually found that they do better when they get this kind of news, when they have to deal with something like this. And what that spoke so much to me, my young self at that time, about 20 years old, is I was so thankful that I already had that church family. They already had so many wonderful people that I knew loved us, and I knew already before my child was born loved my little boy. And so I knew they were going to be there for me in a way that, you know, you're blessed, thankfully, with wonderful biological families, but I'm telling you, nothing replaces what a church family can do and how they can be with you. So just when you're talking about telling others and having others for you there, I just want to just encourage you again, just with church family and the importance of that. Number 5 says, visualize or play the movie. Look at the pros and cons. So if you move forward, you understand what your why is. And on that, and I won't read for the time here, but Luke 14:28-30 talks about count the cost. And when you say play the movie, some of you are like, I get visualizing. What's play in the movie? So the play in the movie is Dr. Henry Cloud, I believe is his name, that I had read a book a few years ago, and he talks about playing the movie. Play it out in your head. What does this look like? If I need to do this, what do I have to do to make that happen? What does it look? What's all the benefits if I do this? If you're trying to get healthier, if you're trying to get in God's Word, if you're trying to make any type change, what is it? How does that benefit? How, you know, and what's your why in that? So you can keep the passion about the changes that you're looking to make. Number 6 is create an affirmation that you say to yourself and possibly share with others. And that's more to do with the fact of just, and if you want to do that, that's totally good. I know some people are all like, oh, you got to get it in front of a mirror and go, I'm awesome, I'm special, I'm great. If you want to do that, it's all good. But what it's really for me was about is about that self-talk that you have. How many of us, though, as soon as you have committed to do something, as soon as you miss it once or twice, you're not going to do it because you're beating yourself up. You're living in shame. You're living in guilt. You're living in, I'm just going to beat myself up and live in this now. And you'll talk it. You'll say it to other people going, yeah, I tried that. I'm a failure. I messed up. And we live there in that. God wants us, that's not what God would have for us. God's our biggest cheerleader. I know Pastor Barry just spoke on that not too long ago. God's our biggest cheerleader up there. He sees us. It's like us watching, you know, little Owen try to do something. And can you imagine us going, well, aren't you just a failure? You're never going to be able to do it. How many times have you tried that and you've messed up? No. I mean, just as a loving parent and we're cheering them on, God's up there doing the same thing for us. He's like, it's okay. And it's not like he's surprised that we messed up. He knew it long before we ever messed up. But he wants to encourage us to keep going. And just on the last point on this is just the reward yourself. And just to think through on that as far as rewarding yourself, I do kind of laugh on sometimes how people choose to reward themselves. No secret that I've at times struggled with my weight. And I'm on these threads for talking about how you're eating and exercising or things like that. And it's always fun for people going, oh my gosh, I lost 10 pounds, in a month. We're going to Pasta House. We're getting pasta con broccoli. We're getting some garlic cheese bread. And what people tend to do is they tend to reward themselves with something that totally contradicts what they've been working towards. So, it'd be like someone that struggled with drinking to go, oh, I've been sober for 30 days. I'm heading to the bar. Who wants to join me? So think about that when you think about something. It is great. It's awesome to have something to look forward to. But make it something, if you're getting healthy or something, maybe it's a piece of workout clothes or workout equipment or something along those lines. But just think about as far as if there's something, a goal you're trying to do, if you're getting into your word, look at maybe a study Bible. A good study Bible is awesome to have if you haven't had that. So think about that as far as for how you reward yourself. But as I wrap up here, I had, there was just, piece of mail that I had just gotten in just this week, actually, from a Christian speaker. And what they had talked about was they were talking about, and it was funny because it's just funny when your mindset's kind of like on one thing or another as far as things you want to change or improve. But the thing that it had said on there was looking at improving your joy, improving, you know, or taking away your bitterness, or, you know, so improving your attitude, or, you know, asking to go to a new level of peace and those things. So think outside the box when you think about things that, you know, where do you struggle with? Where could you have God step in? And one of the things that I had as I was preparing, which I do often, is I started playing some music. Sometimes I'll just take a break and I'll just start playing some music, and just some worship music. And so as I was preparing for this, I was just like, you know what, God, help show me, you know, if there's anything you want me to say, not say, that type of thing. And one of the things that, as soon as I turned on, how many of you have Alexa now at your house? It's cute watching a little toddler try to get it to go, Alexa, bus, Alexa. He wants wheels on the bus is what he wants it to play, but he doesn't know how to make it say. But as I was in the middle of my time of preparing for this Sunday, I was like, you know what, on Friday, I was like, you know, I just need to take a break here and just a little bit of time in worship. And so the first song that came on when I wanted to do that was Good, Good Father. And so I just kind of bask in that. But the next song that came on after that was what really got really tugged at my heart, at least. And the song that had came on after that was Lord, I Need You. And what I was thinking is, you know, what immediately started coming to me, I don't know about you, but I know there's things I've struggled with, things that I want to change or I want to do better, but I can't do it in my own willpower. If I try to do anything in my own willpower, if I try to be up here on my own willpower, I can't do that. The only way that I can do and become the person that God would have me to be is if I lean on God in every single thing that I do. And the song that came on next was Lord, I Need You. And I'm just going to read part of the lyrics here to you today. It says, where sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are. Where you are, Lord, I'm free. Holiness is Christ in me. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you. So teach me, teach my song to rise to you. When temptations comes my way, when I cannot stand, I fall on you, Jesus. And as I just read that, as I just listened to that song and I took it in, I just realized, you know what, there's a lot of families with our church here that has went through some things this last year where we've lost family members, lost a spouse, lost a child, lost parents. You know, we've had lost people, lost jobs, just different situations. And we need, at least I know I do, I need God to show up in a big way. And it's not just sometimes it can be that day, but as I was reading that, Lord, I need you every hour. That struck such a chord with me, because I want God going before me in every decision I make. I want God going before me in everything that I do. And so as I read that, as I listened to that song that day, it just swept over me that God, I need you. Every hour I need you. I'm going to close out here today. I've asked the tech team, and if you guys would just stand, they're going to play that song. I am not going to lead that song. They are going to play that song. And as you're listening to that song, think about what area do you need God in the most today? What area do you need God to show up in today?
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri, 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.